a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives. In four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Wendy, we discuss Native and national Native news and local Native news, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I'm Wakunja Hade, and that means distant thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and that happens to be my taxpayer name, too, is Robert Pilot, so...
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, we're going to mix it up a little bit today. Ogama is not
able. Has a day off.
Yeah, has a day off. She's attending to family, family stuff, which is awesome, and we support that. But we will put that in her folder, her employee folder. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, so Wendy, I know you've scrapped up a few things we can talk about before we bring on Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, a little news there. And I wondered if you can pop up what you got there.
This is a little bit of exciting news here. I have from Indian Country Today. It's a news newspaper that I subscribe to and we all subscribe to here. We can get the latest national Native American news. And Navajo Nation reports no COVID-19 deaths for the second day in a row.
What?
Yeah, so that's really good. Their mask mandates and daily curfews remain. So this is from the Associated Press. Window Rock, Arizona, the Navajo Nation on Monday reported 6 new cases of COVID-19, but no additional deaths for a second consecutive day. The latest numbers push the tribe's pandemic total to 29,954 confirmed cases. The known death toll remained at 1,218. The Navajo Nation had a soft reopening on Monday with 25% capacity for some business under certain restrictions. Still, mask mandates and daily curfews remain. So it looks like we are moving in the right direction, or they are moving in the right direction. And I'm really happy to hear about that because I know that they really had a really difficult time. At one time, they had the most per capita deaths. In the whole United States. So it really is. It's really terrible. Also on WebMD, and this is a WebMD is a... a website that I always would let people, you know, say to people, if you want to, you know, you want good news, you want accurate information, WebMD is a good site to go if you have questions about medications or you have questions about a health condition. You could go ahead and trust what they say. But they had a big article just the other day that COVID deadlier for Native Americans than any other group, and there's a whole bunch of statistics going on. One in every 475 Native Americans has died from COVID-19, according to the data APM Research Labs Color of Coronavirus Project shared with the Guardian newspaper. And I'll just do this really quickly. In comparison, one in every 825 white Americans, one in every 645 black Americans, one in every 665 Pacific Islander Americans, one in every 835 Latino Americans, and one in every 1,320 Asian Americans has died. So that just shows you that the Native American people have had more deaths than any other culture in the United States. Native Americans have had 211 deaths per 100,000 people, the study shows. Per 100,000 people, white Americans have had 121 deaths, Latino Americans 120 deaths, Pacific Islander Americans 150 deaths, Black Americans 155 deaths, and Asian Americans only 76 deaths. So again, we have seen that the Native Americans have had 211 per 100,000 people, more than any, again, in the United States and in the world. So it is a disparity.
Yeah.
Disparity.
Exactly. Hey, I'm wondering if you could read that, keep it going and read that other article. We're not getting a feed from the station.
Yeah, absolutely. The newspaper notes that actual death counts are probably higher because some states and cities don't collect death data on Native Americans. States with hard-hit Native populations include Mississippi, New Mexico, Arizona, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Quote, Everyone has been impacted. Some families have been decimated. How can we go back to normal when we have lost so many after so many layers of trauma? It's unbearable. Amber Kanzaba Crody, a tribal council delegate in the Navajo Nation, told The Guardian. Worse, the death rates has sped up in recent months. The Guardian said 985 coronavirus-related deaths among Native Americans occurred in January, up 35% from December, and the biggest rise amongst other groups. Deaths only rose 10% for white Americans in the same period. Not only do Native Americans have the highest rate of COVID deaths, the rate is accelerated and the disparities with other groups are widening. This latest data is terrible in every way for Indigenous Americans, Andy Egbert, senior analyst at APM Research Lab, told The Guardian. The impact on smaller tribes is striking. About 50 members of the 5,000-member Northern Cheyenne tribe in Montana have died. Our collective grief is unimaginable, says Desi Rodriguez Lone Bear, an assistant professor of the psychology and American Indian Studies at the University of California. Quote, losing 1% of our people is equivalent of losing 3 million Americans. Native Americans are used to dying at disproportionate rates, and we're used to scarcity by COVID is different. There's a growing sense of hopelessness. Health authorities have long known the virus was ravaging Indigenous people in the United States. Back in early June 2020, the Navajo Nation in the Southwest reported around 6,000 coronavirus cases and an infection rate of 3.4%, the highest in the country. New York State, by comparison, had 1.9% infection rate. Why is the coronavirus hard to manage on Native American reservations? Navajo Nation President Joseph Nez said that the social structure of Navajo families, in which it's common for several generations to live in the same residence, makes it difficult to practice social distancing. Extended families often gather in large groups, he said. The high poverty rate also makes sanitation difficult. One expert estimates that one-third of the Navajo population lacks running water.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for reading that. We had some tough...
Yeah, I think that was good information. So I'm glad that they're doing better, and they've had 2 days in a row, the Navajo Nation, with no COVID-19 deaths. So let's all say a quick prayer and put our tobacco down. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
And prayers up for them.
Yeah, exactly. So, our audience now on Facebook can hear us now that the studio has joined us on Facebook. So we have a guest coming up soon here. But first, let's take a quick break before we get back to Nancy Bolio of Bemidji Rise. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. The Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, we're so excited to first have Nancy Bolio here live on StreamYard with us and looking good, looking like she's a hard warrior all over the upper, well, we like to call it the occupied north. We used to like, what did we call it before? The deep north.
The deep
and now
north,
it's the occupied north. And we're fighting back with sisters like Nancy, mm-hmm. you know, in a good way. So Nancy, let me unmute you and say, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Well, again, it's just a pleasure to hold this space. And our guest today is Sasha Bolio from the Red Lake Treaty Camp. But before we get her on, I'd like to share a little bit about our exciting weekend. Sunday, we were invited to have a little private meet and greet with Jane Fonda out at Winona's farm. So a big chi-mi-gwich to Winona for the invite. And it was a pleasure to know that someone with her status has a heart and is willing to use her platform to help amplify our Line 3 resistance here in Minnesota, because we know all pipelines are bad. And this was basically a space that, you know, was created to bring her here to Minnesota to show her what was going on and what we're going to do to protect our water. So Sunday we were at the farm. We had some good eats, wonderful water protector sisters out there. And we got a chance to, you know, have a little one-on-one with Jane Fonda and tell her exactly what our resistance looks like so she can carry that messaging forward. Monday, just yesterday, we met at the Crow Wing River towards Park Rapids, and Jane was our guest of honor yesterday, and that was a very, very beautiful, inspiring, powerful day. And it was really good too, Robert, that we see some more of our native water protectors out there as well. And you know, we need our drums to show up and whatnot, and our jingle dresses. But yesterday, Jane Fonda got pulled over by the police, of all people to get pulled over yesterday. And she said, I think they followed her about 12 miles. And so our guest of honor was a little late. But, you know, the good thing is that she has a lot of followers. She is got her fire drill Fridays, and she's not new to this. So, you know, right. just to have her around was just a great, great honor to have her be here to help amplify our messaging and stand in solidarity. And you know, she knows we matter, and you know, that's just the kind of solidarity we need here.
Wow. Yeah, I noticed you called her Jane. You guys are tight now, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I got that one picture, yeah, Robert. So that's what
you
yeah.
know, I had FOMO when I saw that.
Yeah, I kind of figured FOMO. But
oh, you know what FOMO means, right? Fear of missing out.
Right. You know, and you know, I'm kind of shy about that too, Robert. And then he threw me on StreamYard tonight, but that was one picture I had to have. And I think, you know, again, I'm always going to hold it dear in my heart, you know, that her visit here was something bigger than her, and how she too, you know, makes the sacrifice to step it up. And it's, and she's been arrested quite a few times, and
yeah.
not this time, but maybe next time she comes back to Minnesota. But we got some a lot of good work coming forward here, and I think just her being here has really, really given it a you know, the amplified voice across the nation. So we hope, you know, these next few days and the next few weeks that we get people coming here to Minnesota, because they're getting really ready to drill under the rivers. And so we're going to need some bodies. We're going to need people just to bear witness. And when you come here and stand with us, Robert, you don't have to get arrested. And we know it's COVID, but we're doing our best to follow the COVID protocols and do social distancing. And we do wear our masks. But, you know, I understand.
Nancy, I'm always, always impressed with everybody wearing masks and keeping social distance. I've been up there probably five times, four times, and that's been the case with the legislators were up there, and I went up to the new camp, and everyone was masked up.
Right. Even when we're hanging around the campfire, Robert, we are still wearing our mask. And so the good news is we look forward to meeting new allies after Jane has come through and shared our story. And we just need people, and we need them soon. And so the exciting news is March 22nd, we have an action, a day of action up north here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be standing in solidarity with the Fond du Lac camp and the Red Lake camp as well. So we got White Earth, Fond du Lac, and Red Lake coming together. And we're going to be calling on all of our relatives. And towards the end of my show a little bit today, I just want to do a little recap of what that's about. Yeah. But, you know, I got some really exciting news. And I'm just going to give you a little rundown, because there's so much to share about it. And this is probably Frank Bebo's position to be talking more of the legal part. But what I do know, back in 2019, the fall of 2019, the 1855 Treaty Authority passed the rights to the Menomon. And they have rights, just the rice has rights just like we to exist and to thrive. And if we don't write these resolutions, we have corporate powers that, you know, don't care about those living things, and we're all made of those things, and we depend on those things. So the 1855 rights to the Menomon not only gives rights to the Menomon, it gives people like myself, especially in the 1855 treaty area, rights to protect the Menomon without being criminalized. So the exciting news is, just last week, White Earth also passed another resolution for, again, the Chippewas of Minnesota. And what we can do is go out to the exterior of our reservation lines, not just in our reservations, but in our 1855 treaty territories, that we can go protect our sacred elements. And if the county comes and gives us a ticket, we will not be heard in their courts. We're going to actually go back to the White Earth Tribal Court to be heard. So there's a different position taken there, and there's some things that have to be worked out. But we're in the beginning of all that, and we understand that the state will probably challenge us, you know, because they don't want us to, you know what to do when we know what to do. We got smart people like Frank. We got Winona. We just got all kinds of good people showing up, and we're in a new time where our people, we know how to write letters, we know how to show up, we know how to become delegates, we know how to run for office. And so I think all this work that's taking place in it right now, Robert, especially for the White Earth position, our opposition to Line 3, I think it's really going to help our resistance to Line 3 here in the White Earth area and in the 1855. So I think I look forward to getting arrested now, Robert.
That's awesome, because you might get a pass go free card from Monopoly and hand it in. But there's another thing that you just mentioned too, which I really kind of grasp on, because every time we get together, you say a little statement like you just said something like, they don't want us to know what we know. That's our next t-shirt.
Right. You know, just like I said, we're going to learn how to play this game, and we're going to learn how to play it better. And I think that's exactly what we're doing. And there's so many facets, you know, some people are about direct action. Some people are about writing letters, and some people are just behind the scenes organizing. But I think when we build on that people power, we bring so many skills to the table, and that's a threat to them, you know, because we know how to show up, and we know how to, you know, make things happen. And I think we're at a point in history right now where we really, really have to say the time is now, and we need our people to step it up, because, you know, this is more than a pipeline. This is about our treaties. This is about our culture. And this is about the seventh generations. And I'm going to say it. What good is everything else without clean water? So we have to make that a priority in our all too busy schedules. And I hear it time in and time out, and I get it, and we're all busy, but you know, sometimes you just have to give up something to protect it. You know, I want to go picking blueberries. I'm going to cross my fingers this year, Robert, the last 3 years, because of Line 3, I didn't get to pick blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
I had to protect the water. And I had to stop picking blueberries because I ain't going to pick blueberries 10 years down the road if I don't protect the water today.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's so I right. did sacrifice that, you know. And I know somewhere in time, the creator's going to give me maybe some extra time to make up for all this, you know. That's my hope. So, but, you know, we do have to sacrifice. And, you know, I don't mean to, you know, make anyone feel bad, but honestly, there is going to be nothing left if we don't have the clean water. And this is the time to protect it because Enbridge is here in the occupied north, like Robert says. And they're getting ready to drill. And I think the most we've seen at one given time up here in our area is maybe 50 people at one action. You know, and yesterday was a little bit bigger because we had Jane in the house.
Yep.
But we need your boots on the ground.
Yeah, let's talk about that more. You know, we're going to get your guest on. This is so exciting that we're going to be on StreamYard and talk face-to-face with mm-hmm. Sasha. And this is awesome, Wendy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad Jane Fonda's all about it. And you know what? She was at Standing Rock, too. So, you know.
During Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, she's an older woman. She's in her 80s, and she doesn't care about being in cold Minnesota when she's freezing and it's snowing. So go, Jane.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm Wakun Jahadi, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Nation. Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakun Jahadi.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, what a coincidence here. We got someone that works for MN350 on here.
Wow, yeah, what a coincidence.
Awesome. Hey, so Nancy, we see we have Sasha on here, and I'm going to unmute her, and then I'm going to let you take over a little bit here. Or Sasha, can you unmute yourself? I see you are muted. There you go. And go ahead, Nancy.
All right. You know, just before I put Sasha on, I wanted to share that we have World Water Day next Monday, March 22nd. And so we are calling out to all the drums, pipe carriers, and dancers. And we welcome them up here, up in northern Minnesota, to stand in solidarity and join us in prayer and resistance at the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline. And we're going to be at the Mississippi. And so we want you to meet us at the White Earth Protector Camp between 11 and 12, and then we're going to caravan over there. So we're calling on all of our relatives and our allies and our drums and our fire keepers. And you know what, Robert, we want to show up by the hundreds. So we're really making a huge call out. And we hope that Jane, when she shared our story too, that will help get people here. So March 22nd is next Monday, 11 to 12, show up at the White Earth Water Protector Camp, and we will go from there. And up next, we have Sasha Bolio. She is leading the Red Lake Treaty Camp, and I want to give her the space to tell us what's going on in Red Lake and what we look forward to. So welcome, Sasha.
Hi, Nancy. We're over at the Red Lake Treaty Camp over at St. Hilaire. So far there's not too much work going on right now. They kind of did their staging as far as they can. So, you know, as far as activity over there, it's kind of minimal. But as far as camp goes, we're trying to be able to come and occupy with us. I got a few army tents coming in. I got a couple of tiny houses.
We're kind of losing you now,
solar out there.
Sasha, we're kind of losing you right now. We had a really good signal with you.
Yeah, I think we lost her.
Yeah, we may have.
Nancy, if you could take over now, that would be great. And
all right.
That's too bad that we lost Sasha. I guess we just had a bad connection there with her. The one thing I wanted to mention about Jane, if we can just go back to Jane Fonda again, that, you know, yesterday in her recording, we played it on AM 950, and I loved that she was saying that, that, you know, she wants to get in touch with the Biden administration. She wants to end Line 3, and it needs to be stopped. And the Biden administration needs to help give sustainable union jobs and transition pipeline people to these new jobs that are sustainable. And I really loved that she really made that a really big point, that she does care about the workers, and it's not that they're that it's their fault that they're up there. They're just working and they're just doing their jobs, and that it really needs to transition smoothly to a sustainable jobs with solar energy, to electricity, to wind power, whatever it may be.
Right. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. And I'm glad Jane brought it up as well. And we hear Winona talking about it a lot of the time. But, you know, they say water protector versus pipeliner, and we see that's how it's divided, you know, our communities, that the community thinks we're trying to take jobs away from these pipeline people, but you know what, they're people just like us, and they have, you know, bills to pay. So what we need to do is really focus on the Green New Deal. We need to focus on removing the pipeline away from get it out of Leech Lake, and we need to update our infrastructures, you know, where there's places where there's no water running. So there's all kinds of different ways that we can employ the pipeline people. So I think it's critical we start having that conversation more often than not, and remind the Biden administration the time is now, and let's create jobs for our pipeline people that depend on money just like the rest of us do. So I think the Green New Deal, we should be pushing more of that. And I think having that conversation and reaching out to the communities and reminding them that we're not here to take anyone's job. We're here to imagine a future together. And what does that take? And that takes the Green New Deal. It takes a whole different set of skill sets to move, you know, get windmills up and whatever. So let's start you know, training people and making policies that make this kind of stuff happen. So I think we're on the trajectory where we could start having those conversations now that we have Biden in office. So mm-hmm. I think if we put the pressure on, continue to have those conversations, I think we can imagine a future together that's more sustainable for all living things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's absolutely. Well said. And I think that's such a great idea, Wendy. What you brought up was, you know, that's it's not their fault and it's not us against them. We just need to transition. And again, you know, we did this during the Great Depression when FDR was president. We changed the whole economy around. We put people to work. We built infrastructure, and our infrastructure too now is crumbling. So that would be
because that's probably the last time it was brought up to date was when FDR was in,
or the 60s.
Yeah,
at least 50
absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely, bridges and
because 94 went through here in the 64, I believe.
Yeah, so we do. We need to update and move on.
Yeah, definitely. So what else you got going up there? Nancy?
Well, you know, 2 weeks from today, I don't have a calendar handy right now, but I think we're going to show up at the Beltrami County Commissioners meeting, and we're going to show up in a really, really powerful way. We're going to bring drums, we're going to bring dancers, because we have an issue here in Beltrami County. Our sheriff, Sheriff Beidle, has spent $189,000 on riot gear, and again, you know, treaties were intended for us to be good neighbors and good stewards of the earth. Well, when we got Red Lake and White Earth, and now Mille Lacs opposing Line 3, so is Leech Lake, but Leech Lake is, you know, not really in the limelight right now like the other tribes. But, you know, Leech Lake, White Earth, and
Red Lake, we all bring huge spending power to this county, and we should have, you know, part of the dialogue and decision making that's taking place. And I don't think supporting Line 3 with riot gear is a good way to treat your tribal nations that are surrounding this county here. So Commissioner Gosvick thinks that shouldn't be an issue of ours, because Line 3 won't run through our area once the replacement or the relocation happens. But you know what? When we're spending $189,000 out of this county, it does matter. And it's not a good way to treat White Earth or Red Lake when they haven't had their day in court. So we're going to show up, and we're going to remind them we're still here, like we did when Trump came to town. So I think it's going to be a very powerful day. And I think it's going to be something that all the commissioners are going to take away when they realize that they too are treaty people. And we're going to keep showing up in all these different spaces and places and keep reminding people that we all have to be good to each other, and we have to be good to Mother Earth, because one of our lessons is we have to leave it in a better way than we found it. So these corporate powers that, you know, drowned our voices, and they tell us to get over it. Yeah. Robert, it's still happening. And that's right. Why we have to keep showing up.
Yeah. And we're showing up in a good way. It's getting warmer out. I think people are going to be really focusing on what's happening with Line 3. And I'm excited. I might come up there Monday. I know Ogama will be there for sure to represent AM Native Roots Radio and maybe do a live news report up there. But it's time. We're ready to go. We're on StreamYard now, so we can record basically anywhere as long as there's a Wi-Fi, Wendy, and mm-hmm. you'll be holding the fort down here at...
I'll be at the mothership here.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just holding the fort down.
That's right.
Right.
And so
yeah, Robert... We got a booster van that we have IEN that's willing to share. So when you come up north, just make sure that we have you, because you know where the occupied north is. That's also considered the Poseidon Triangle. So right. We want to make sure we're going to broadcast far and wide when you show up. So yeah, well, and
I remember too when we were doing Standing Rock that it came out too that. We were being blocked by the police and all the militarized police out in Standing Rock. We could only go on, if you remember, we could only go on Facebook Hill there to make any kind of phone calls. And I know Wendy and I were staying in different places on the camp with our RV, and I would stand like in the corner with my tippy toes with one hand behind my back, and I could get Wi-Fi. And so
it was true. Yeah,
there's that stuff going on now too.
Yeah,
right. And we got to help our sister Sasha out up in Red Lake with some type of hotspot or something, because we keep losing her. And you know, I just want to hear an update from Sasha and for her to share, you know, how we could support her as well.
Mm-hmm,
so absolutely. Now I would hope they could follow her, Sasha at the Red Lake Treaty Camp on Facebook for any updates or how they could help out, support the camp up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening up there, and we just need to amplify that so much. And yeah, this is totally always be, when we do the Tuesday show, it's always very, very informative about what's going up there, Nancy. And, you know, we really appreciate you and what you do for us. You know, we appreciate it so much, and we'll be up there as much as we can, and we'll be broadcasting live on AM 950 and all our other sister stations across Turtle Island to amplify what's really happening and how we can help.
It's great seeing you.
Right. We'll see you on World Water Day.
Right. Yes. On. That's right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Nancy Bolio. We'll be right back after a short break with our sacred animal section.
Stay with us.
Mm-hmm. This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, this reminds me of the days during our old show, Pilots Progressive Party, where it's you and me and a piece of paper.
That's right, piece of paper. We got it. I just want to update, you know, our Strong Hearts Native Helpline launches a text advocacy. So you could text them. And this is going to be starting on Monday, March 22nd. Mm-hmm. Text advocacy can be reached by using Strong Hearts Native Helpline number, which is 1-844-7-NATIVE.
Wow.
Yeah, nice and easy to remember. 1-844-7-NATIVE.
Well, that is easy to remember.
Yeah, and it's nice because, you know, sometimes people can't talk in their house because, you know, if they have a person who is maybe domestically hurting them, right, in some way, and they're in one room and they don't want to talk, they could text and somebody will text them back and they could help them that way.
You know, so. I got to just say this about that, Wendy. It's mm-hmm. really interesting because, you know, I watch TikTok and we're trying to really get a presence on TikTok. Mm-hmm. We're just thinking about it. We're not doing anything about it. So really, I'm listening to TikTok.
We have to practice a dance routine.
No, we have to support
Can
the show.
Can I choreograph?
But this is what I want to say, mm-hmm. that there's been a couple really eerie ones where they play the phone call of somebody that's being abused. Mm-hmm. And they're like acting like they're calling a pizzeria.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
I have heard it. And what the woman, it was a woman who mm-hmm. was calling somebody for help. And what she did was she raised her hand like this. You could see it on her Facebook. So it's your hand is up and your thumb is across, you know, down across your hand. And that's the sign that you tell somebody that you need help.
Right.
So if you need help, everyone should be aware that if you see this sign or somebody doing this, then they need help.
This was a little different. They called a pizzeria.
Oh.
And they called 911 and acted like they were ordering a pizza.
Oh.
And the person on the other side could hear this young woman ordering a pizza, and the lady was 911 operator saying,
I see.
And you know you're calling 911. And she says, yes, I would like two pizzas.
Okay.
And so she was answering that like that. And I've seen that a couple times in different ones. Very eerie, very smart, but very sad that we're still at this. But it was good because mm-hmm. the final end of the show was, mm-hmm. You know, the 1 minute video was the police arrived
at the house. So right. Yeah, that's a really good idea. I would never even think of that. But
call
that's
911.
Call 911. Pretend you're a pizza. Or unbelievable.
Kind of
give
emotional.
Them the address. Yes, I'm at, my address is.
Right.
Yeah, my address
you
is.
You have to give the pizzeria place your mm-hmm. address. So it's, mm-hmm. it's brilliant, but it's also, you know, it's from a real 911 call. So, and it's put up there mm-hmm. with pictures or maybe acting it out or something that they, you know, how they do it on
TikTok.
I forgot what it was.
TikTok. I need to get off TikTok because I watch you send me like a video to
just
watch
one.
And then I watch it. But then what happens is when you're done, the next one pops up and then you watch that one and then the next one pops up and then you watch that one. And by the time you know it, an hour passed by. It's really bad. But anyway, I wanted to tell everyone.
Sorry about that.
Those of you who don't know this, I'm a humane policy volunteer for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And today, Robert, this afternoon earlier, I was on a Zoom call with my House Representative, Dave Pinto, and I was on with other two colleagues that are also humane policy volunteer leaders, Sadie and Mira. So if you're listening, guys, thanks. And I think we did a pretty good job. We all took a turn, and this is Humane Lobby Week. And what we do is, and we encourage everyone to do, is to get in touch with your House Representative and your Minnesota State Legislator, Senator, and to talk about these bills that we want to get passed in Minnesota. We want a humane Minnesota. And a lot of people say to me, oh, Wendy, there's so many more important things to talk about than animals. Why do you care about turtles? You know, and the reason is, and what I say is that it's humane and it brings a fundamental humaneness to us all. And it starts with the least person or sacred animal that does not have a voice. So the sacred animal does not have a voice. We have to stand up for the sacred animal. So one of the issues that we talked about with Dave Pinto was to save Minnesota wolves. They're in danger right now, right? They were taken off the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Endangered Species Act. So the Endangered Species Act, they are off that now. And guess who did that? Our past administration, 45, yeah, took them off. And it's a political thing. And, you know, Dave Pinto knew that. He said to us, was that a political thing or were they taken off the Endangered Species Act because of science? And the answer is they were taken off the Endangered Species Act because of politics, not because they're safe and they should not be killed.
There's too many of them. There's no room in the inn anymore.
Right.
Yeah, right.
But really, Minnesota value wolves. Not only are wolves vital to keep our ecosystem healthy and biologically diverse, but they are deeply valued by the majority of Minnesotans. For example, a recent survey found that over two-thirds of residents expressed a positive attitude towards wolves, compared to only 19% that expressed a negative attitude. That same study found that 86% of residents said they would like to see about the same number or even more wolves. Additionally, nearly half of the residents were opposed to a potential wolf hunting season, and 58% were opposed to a wolf trapping season. So we need to take care of these majestic animals, and we do not want what happened here in Minnesota, what just happened in Wisconsin. Wisconsin had a three-day hunt, and over 20% of their wolf population was killed. That was over 216 wolves that were just
like quickly
murdered in 3 days.
And they were going to have it like 2 weeks.
Yep,
and
they
like
were going to have the wolf hunt.
All these people that were like,
and they just went out and obliterated these poor wolves, and their bodies were just thrown in a dumpster. Like you know, you can't eat a wolf. At least I don't think you can.
No.
You know, and it's really, really sad. So another statistic is that nearly 1,500 wolves were killed by trophy hunters and trappers in the Great Lakes region the last time they lost their federal protections. And this includes 923 wolves in Minnesota. Many of the wolves killed at that time were pups. Yeah, so they'll go and they'll kill the pups too. So, you know, listen, we all can do like what Nancy said. We're not all equipped to go up north and to be up there and to travel and to get arrested. You know, for our sacred animals, you can call your House representative. You could call your state senator and ask them to, you know, support these bills. I put some on our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio. You can go on our Facebook page and scroll and you'll find the bills. You could also call Tim Walz. We're asking him to help with a...
I bet you have his number handy, too. Maybe mention line 3.
651-201-3400. I have it memorized. So 651-201-3400. Give him a call. You can leave him a message. His LA, his legislative assistant, will make a note and send him your message on his desk.
I'm sure they can't wait to hear from us, too. They know your voice. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We all are on trial from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop line 3.